Good afternoon.
I've got a quote here. I want to read in just a minute. The verses that Father Bob read from John 14 in the Upper Room Discourse, I'm just reading these, it's just three verses again. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and even greater works than these, because I go to the Father. So when Jesus went to the Father, it's when he poured out the Holy Spirit, and he's telling us, we've all heard these verses, that yes, we can move in signs and wonders and do the things that Jesus did, and that's true. But the context, this is all one little paragraph. The next thing he says is, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And so we know that that's just this, about the Christian life and being in Christ and being able to, by him, do the things he did. But in the context, he's also talking about greater works that he's being done in the context of prayer. Asking him and the Father would do them for his sake. This is Jeremiah 33. I haven't read this verse in a lot of years, so it's really interesting the Lord brought it to my attention today. Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I'll answer you, and I will show you great and wonderful things which you do not know. It's an amazing scripture. I was just looking up some of the Hebrew words, and he says, I'll show you great and mighty things or wonderful things. The word there is inaccessible things, things that are seem to be unreachable, that seem unreachable to you, that are like behind a fortress. He said, I'm going to show you those things. This is, so in light of that, I'll read you this little quote from Corrie Ten Boom about prayer. I love it. Because you know that Jesus is your prayer life, that because you're in union with Christ, everything you do, you're representing him. Everything you do, you're in him, he's in you. He's before the Father in you. That's why you're praying in his name. That's why you do things in his name, as if you were him. Again, that verse in 1 John chapter 4, even as he is in this world, so are you. Wow. Because you're in union with him. And so that's why I say Jesus is your prayer life. He's not just the object of your prayer life. He is your prayer life. And so when you come to the Father in Jesus' name, you're in Christ before the Father. And so what the Father's hearing is Jesus. That's why Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. That should be an encouragement to us, not a discouragement. Years ago, it was a discouragement to me because I thought, well, that's not happening. So what's the secret code? And there's no secret code. It's just that first we have to believe that what he says in the word is true. And that's what we're shooting for. That's what we're going after, is so walking out our union with Christ that it's like it was for him. It's for us because we're in him and he's in us. And Corrie Ten Boom says this, the wonderful thing about praying is that you leave a world of not being able to do something. The wonderful thing about prayer is that you leave a world of not being able to do something and enter God's realm where everything is possible. I like that. Because those things may not be possible to you. They're not impossible to Jesus. And he's included you in his life. And again, he wants his life and his story to be told through your life and your life story. And so the Lord wants to show us. He says, call unto me and I will show you great, I will answer you. And I will show you great and seemingly inaccessible, unreachable things that you've not known before. He's going to show us the things that are accessible to Jesus. Our life is, he's our possibilities. You aren't Jesus, but Jesus is the truth about who you are and what you are capable of. Because you're in him. And so I think about this scripture from Revelation chapter 4. Now, John's 93 years old when he wrote the book of Revelation. And so he's beginning to see some of the things that's going to be played out in humanity, among fallen humanity. We see it being played out today. And it's so important that we as Christians don't try to reach conclusions based on the argument that the world's having. The only side that we're on is Jesus' side. Amen? He's on the kingdom of God's side. So he's beginning to see this panoramic of what's going to be taking place. And then it says in verse 1 that my Bible says after these things, but it could also be translated, the word is also after, could be in the midst of. And I think that's the gist here. In the midst of these things, what he was seeing about the future of humanity, I looked and behold, a door was standing open in heaven. So you have to understand that every time you pray, it happens in heaven. Because you're seated in heavenly places. When you open up your mouth, you're speaking to God face to face because you're in Christ and he has a face to face relationship with the Father. And it's happening in heaven, though your feet are squarely on the earth. I hear Christians all the time talking about, I want to have a third heaven experience. You live in the third heavens. You live from that place. And so every time you talk to God, every time you pray, it's a third heaven experience. In the midst of these things, I looked and the door was open. It's always standing open. The Lord Jesus said he was the door, didn't he? He's the door to your having instant and constant access to the Father. Not whether you deserved it or whether you earned it, you have some secret thing, prayer. It's Christ is the open door. I saw this door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet, was speaking to me and said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. So this is not just John having some cosmic sort of psychedelic vision, prophetic experience. This is him seeing into reality. And there's this door, which is Jesus, open up to heaven. And there's always an open door for you because you're in Christ. And so the door stands open. You're there. You're already there. You don't have to scratch your way to get there, grope your way to get there, earn your way there. You're there. Christ took you with him in his ascension. And he says, come up here. Like, I want you to begin to think from up here. And I'm going to show you what must take place in the midst of these things. And then he saw this throne, one sitting on the throne. So he's having his conversation with someone who's on a throne that's high and lifted up. The one who rules, the great governor of the universe, the king of kings. You with me? And he says to him, the one on the throne says, now let me show you what must take place in the midst of these things. I don't believe he's just saying to John, I'm going to show you a movie, a video, what's going to happen. So take a seat, pull up your chair, and I'm going to show you. He was showing him because he was going to include him, as he will with every Christian, in transforming and governing the affairs of men on the earth. Remember we've talked about, in terms of praying for things and for people, is that our Father loves us so much that he brings him pleasure to include you and me to participate in sovereign God moving the pieces on the board of the affairs of humanity. We as democracy people treasure the vote, but are something more powerful than a vote. And as one Christian, knowing who they are in Christ, coming up there, you know, opening your eyes to from that perspective, God showing you this was what must take place, and I'm showing you the things that seem inaccessible. This seems impossible. This seems like this could never happen in a person's life, even beyond that, in a nation's life, in the Selma life, whatever. And he said, I'm going to show you what must take place, and you're going to participate in making it happen.
Amen.
That's stunning.
Yes.
Changes, transforms your idea of intercession. So what is prayer? Prayer is dreaming with God. Prayer is reimagining with God human condition, knowing that what he shows you, even if it may seem impossible, knowing that he's showing you these things, what must take place, because he has chosen to include you in that process. That's amazing to me. I'll give you one little small example, then we'll stop. This is when we've been hanging out in Philippians. And so Paul's in prison, 24/7, chained to a Roman soldier. And he says in verse 19 of chapter 1, "For I know that this shall turn out for my spiritual maturity, my becoming more Christ-like, through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Christ Jesus." Now, how much provision did the apostle have? Scripture says we're complete in Christ. That the church is the fullness of him who fills all and is in all. It says in Colossians 3:11 that Christ is all and he's in all. So all that Jesus is, and Jesus has all that the Father has, all that Jesus is and all that Jesus has, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That includes spiritual strength, spiritual anointing, yada, 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 peace that passes understanding, everything. You can imagine Christ's capacity to endure, Christ's capacity, whatever. It's all yours. It was all Paul's. The provision of the Spirit was his. And that provision is enough to not just endure, but Paul said, "I've learned to be content whatever circumstance I'm in, because I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me." So why the prayer part? He said, "I know that this is going to happen because of your prayers and the provision of the Spirit. Because God's made this thing, set this thing up, because he wants us to participate. He wants to include us. We're part of the story, his story, and he lives in us." And so why the prayers? What difference does that make? Because as those people would pray for Paul, somehow that was going to help Paul lean into and draw from that provision that was already his. We said, "How does that work, Bishop?" Well, maybe Paul would think about something or get a word about something about, "Oh, yeah, I don't have to be afraid here," or whatever. Maybe all those things are coming to him as a result of praying, other people praying for him. That's a metaphysical wonder and miracle, but that's the way it works. Maybe Paul, if he's struggling, he's like us, to get down and discouraged, he's possibly facing death, all of a sudden the thought comes to him, "Jesus is big enough for this." Maybe that came to him because prayer impacted his soul. It's a mystical thing. It's an invisible thing, but we're interconnected. And we as Christians have impact. And prayer is that one of those things we do. And so Paul is saying that he knew this would turn out well for him, not just because he had all that Christ is in him, but because they were going to pray for him. And the result of that is that he would better draw from that. He would be more successful in allowing Christ to live through him, in trusting and believing and leaning into their provision. So I love this thing. I'm going to read it again. Then we'll end. The wonderful thing about praying is that you leave a world of not being able to do something, and you're entering into God's realm where everything is possible. And if you're willing to be childlike, he'll show you the impossible. Call unto me, and I'll answer you. And I will show you great and seemingly inaccessible things that you do not know. Why would he show you that? Because they are accessible in our prayers. Okay? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.